the names you know.
The guy who shapes the roster for the Bucks, general manager John Horst. Cash money, Chris Middleton has been the catalyst the Bucks needed. Milwaukee's very own Splash Mountain, Brook Lopez, is alive and well.
Talking about your favorite basketball team, from on the court to off.
It's just about having that confidence, you know, and he works on it every single day.
Could be something like everything from Panther Arena to the Kohl Center in Wisconsin.
First time I meet the guys, I told them that's what I'm here to do, chop wood and carry water.
It's time to go courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's your host, Gale Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gale Klappa. Welcome back to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. The tip in the air. The game underway. It's only a matter of hours now before a new era of Bucks basketball unfolds on the hard court at Fiserv Forum. The stage is set after a blockbuster offseason. Giannis has a new superstar running mate at point guard. Chris and Brooke are back. A new head coach is patrolling the sideline. And there's a new face in the ownership group of the Bucks. Tonight, we'll unpack it all with a guy who's been in the middle of it all. The president of the Bucks, Peter Fagan. Peter, always great to be with you.
Hey, Gale, how are you?
We're doing great. You've been doing anything lately, you know?
I think we've been having a really fun time, and as you kind of mentioned in your intro, this is injecting some found enthusiasm in what was already a championship-level team and kind of, you know, upping the expectations.
And Peter, as you look back over this tremendous summer, what two or three moments stand out to you the most?
Well, start with the lowest of the low, you know, getting knocked out of the playoffs in the first round and kind of trying to rethink, you know, directionally where we're going. We, you know, we parted ways with Coach Bud. We went on a search for a new head coach, you know, which is always an interesting, like, process. Like, found Adrian Griffin, who we're all thrilled about, and kind of had a template and a roadmap to kind of get us to a new level, you know, with the goal of winning a championship. We kind of went through, had some extensions with Chris Middleton, re-signed Brooke Lopez, you know, which gave us this incredible, you know, sustained core that we've had for a while. And then, lo and behold, you know, as we got into the last 2 weeks, we had this opportunity of a lifetime to consider a trade for Damian Lillard, and we did it, and we got one of the greatest players in the NBA to join another one of the greatest players in the NBA to really, when you didn't think you could get much better, got much better. So it's very exciting.
Oh, it sure is. And Peter, as you know, it was widely speculated that Damian Lillard was headed for Miami and the Heat. Give us just a sense of how we were able to entice him to buy a one-way ticket to Milwaukee.
Well, I think it's like a testament to John Horst, who you know well and kind of talk, is the most unassuming, accomplished GM in the league and has really kind of, you know, put together our puzzle in a way to win championships. And in John's incredible way, really opened up, you know, the conversation probably a month prior with the GM of Portland and saying, we are interested, and in a very, you know, sincere, authentic way. And that converted, you know, probably 2 weeks later into real conversations. And, you know, that's how it ended up getting consummated. But really, it's a testament to John really having his finger on the pulse, being involved with other teams and really taking advantage of every opportunity.
And what has this meant for ticket sales and fan enthusiasm, Peter?
So interestingly enough, like one of the rare times I think in my career that, you know, you talk to owners sometimes when you're plotting this, and they're always, what's the incremental effect? Very rarely does a player have an incremental effect. And you know, for us, as we get into September and October, about 70% of our inventory is sold already before tip-off. But what Damian Lillard did overnight was something I'd never seen before. You know, when the phones ring off the hook, and by the way, not as many phones ring these days because everything's electronic, but the phones were ringing off the hook. And the demand, you know, increases dramatically every couple of hours. It's amazing. And just the adjacencies as well. Like, there are just no NBA players that sell thousands of jerseys, like, overnight. And he is, like, one of these adored global superstars that just not many of them exist. And we've got two of them now.
Yeah, that's amazing. And, Peter, if you look at the stats, Dame's efficiency from three-point land rivals the numbers put up by none other than Steph Curry.
Yeah, I would say it's greater than that, and that like Steph, those two are people that extend the game. So, you know, this guy, seeing him in person, literally has limitless range. You know, so when you talk about the importance of spreading out a defense, you know, in the NBA, I don't think you get more literal than Dame's ability to shoot from anywhere, you know, at a high percentage. And that's kind of the ultimate advantage, is we've got one of the greatest unstoppable bigger players in Giannis, and kind of like one of the, you know, and again, with Steph, maybe argue the top two outside shooters in the league, which should be fun to watch.
Amen. Now, of course, Peter, to make the deal work, to land Damian Lillard, we had to part ways with Jrue Holiday. Great defensive player, terrific teammate, even better human being. It's a business, but that had to sting a little bit, right, Peter?
I don't think, Gail, like through my professional or personal life, like there's been more of a universally, authentically loved person than Jrue and Lauren as well, and his family. I mean, this was, you know, a true, unbelievable character, citizen, teammate, partner. I think it's one of the rare occasions when this happened. A lot of us went up to go see him. You know, they're real, like deep emotional tears. I think if you ask Jrue, this was a move in his career that reignited his love for basketball. He was instrumental in bringing a championship. I mean, these were really tough, you know, hard decisions to move. And I would say, you know, this is a person, you know, who just beyond adored, like I've never seen before. So it was very, very difficult.
And Peter, now, originally Jrue went to Portland, and now we'll be seeing him in Celtic Green.
Yeah, you hope they don't go to your you know, the East Coast, but we kind of had a feeling that might happen, and that's fine. You know, kind of everybody's got their strengths and their weaknesses and their makeup of a team. I certainly think it obviously makes Boston stronger, and they've maybe become a little less deep, but we're pretty satisfied with having the prospect of Dame and kind of the trade. Like, again, like when you think about the business we're in and pro sports, and it just the opportunity to acquire one of the best players, you know, in the league just doesn't happen too often.
We'll have more with Peter Fagan in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
This is Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Now back to Courtside with Gale and Bucks president Peter Fagan.
Peter, a new first-time head coach will be leading the Bucks into this NBA season. If you will, give us your view of what Adrian Griffin brings to the Bucks organization.
So, number one, a depth of knowledge and experience. You know, I think, you know, with no true head coach experience, Griff has been the assistant to probably what I would say is, you know, the top five, you know, coaches, you know, in recent years, whether it was Nick Nurse or Billy Donovan. It's just his wealth of knowledge, his ability to be a tactician, not just on the defensive side, which he's you know, kind of known for, but on the offensive side is terrific. And I think what separates him is, you know, I'd almost say his humanity. I mean, this is a guy who is like incredible to get to know, like is literally like lovable / likable and fun to be around. I think it's a breath of fresh air for the team and the players and the organization, and he has brought this energy and enthusiasm that I think is just going to take us to the next level, you know, kind of like the new blood that really will be a difference maker.
And we understand, Peter, that the Bucks invited Giannis and Chris Middleton to take part in the final round of coaching interviews, and they both were very positive about Adrian.
Yeah, I think you know, Adrian, you know, being a pro player in the league as well as in Europe, kind of working his way up, kind of playing at Seton Hall, kind of understanding, you know, what it's like to be a player, certainly what the NBA life is like. He actually has a son who's an NBA player in Atlanta. I think, you know, they all connected like extremely well and kind of like loved not only what he was like interpersonally, but certainly loved like the basketball side of him as well.
And Peter, when I had a chance to sit down with Adrian, one of the things we talked about, and this just amazed me, he is so into learning, so into leadership, that he actually, as you know, went back to college to get a PhD in organizational leadership. That's pretty rare.
Yeah, I think, you know, whether you're a head coach or run a business or you're growing in your business, you get to have a curiosity, to want to learn, to constantly improve, those are the characteristics like you die for. You know, those are the winners. You know, and he's one of those people who ask the questions, you know, kind of lean in, wants the answers, wants people to be additive, and like continually wants to raise the bar, you know, and has and like kind of demands constant improvement, but for himself as well as everybody participating.
And switching gears, Peter, lots of questions in the offseason about the re-signing of Chris Middleton. He's coming off, obviously, an injury-plagued season last year and knee surgery over the summer. We saw Chris on the court for the first time last Friday in the final preseason game. What's your view? How ready is Chris for the rigors of an 82-game season?
So, I mean, I can almost answer this personally in that, you know, I work out sometimes at the practice facility only late at night when everybody's gone. And kind of fortunately, that was over the last 2 months when Chris worked out. You know, that was like his time period where he wanted to get in. And Chris has never been stronger, has never worked harder. I think, you know, for Chris, he wanted to feel as comfortable as he possibly could, you know, kind of in coming back, knowing, like, regardless, he'd be ready for the regular season in a great way. So I'm tough person to ask because I'm his biggest fan, and also like beyond confident that Chris Middleton as a third option is extremely dangerous.
We were joking that Chris should see more open shots this year than any time in his career with both Dame and Giannis on the court.
Yeah, I think for a guy like Chris, whose career-wise is probably one of the better players to create his own shot and really kind of and work off the double team, like for teams to have to single cover him is going to be a real challenge for opponents.
And Peter, there are two role players on the roster that many of us think could well make a major contribution this season. Second-year forward Marshawn Beauchamp and veteran newcomer Malik Beasley. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think I'll start with Beasley. I mean, there's no shot Beasley doesn't like, you know, which is really exciting. And, like, he is an unbelievable shooter. I would say he was they have a contest among the players of shooting out of 100 three-pointers, and I think before Dame got here, Beasley was the team leader, you know, somewhere in the low 90s, you know. And I don't know if you've been around the NBA three-point line, but for somebody to hit, you know, over 90% of three-pointers is kind of surreal. Until Dame got here and hit 92 or 93 of them on his first day here to set the tone. So, you know, I think Beasley's like beyond excited to contribute to the team and is going to be like an unbelievable additive presence on both sides of the court, you know, in a very big way. And Marshawn, you know, physically has kind of evolved to the next level, kind of put on some real strength and muscle. And, you know, as Coach explains it to me, he is so long and so athletic, his ability to disrupt on defense, and he certainly doesn't question his ability to score. So, you know, I think as we have a deep team, especially during the regular season, you'll see these guys play a lot, and they're fun to watch, too.
Amen. And we'll have more with the president of the Bucks right after this. It's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Here's more Courtside with Gail and Bucks president Peter Fagan.
Peter, as you know, fan excitement here in Milwaukee is literally off the charts. But I noticed the other day that Giannis asked for some patience. He said it may take a while for all the talent on this team to gel. How long do you think it'll take to work out the kinks?
You know, I'm impulsive and kind of have no patience. So, you know, my hope is sooner versus later. And I think these are veterans. You know, I think it might gel much faster. But I also think, you know, Giannis's expectation of, like, it might be at a different level than mine. You know, and what he actually has the vision of how great, you know, this this team can be. But I do think it'll take time. I think if you look at the makeup of the team, you know, it's a little bit different, you know, especially with Drew no longer, you know, in the mix, and Grayson no longer in the mix, who were two players who had a lot of minutes kind of played. But you know, my expectation is kind of it'll certainly be an upward climb, but it'll be great for us because I think that's kind of the adversity a championship team needs in a weird way.
And there's been other change that we talked about at the top of the organization with Jimmy Haslam and his wife Dee joining the ownership group. What's your impression of Jimmy and Dee and what they're bringing to the ownership team?
I mean, I think Jimmy is one of the most direct, straightforward, kind of intelligent, kind of, you know, bosses/partners/owners I've ever been around. And Dee is, you know, beyond experienced in kind of not just running the Cleveland Browns and the crew and a production company, but the wealth of knowledge they have. And I also think kind of the industry knowledge of running Pilot J and kind of understanding, you know, a real retail customer-centric business is like fascinating, you know, for me. And I think, you know, one of the other things it's done for us is kind of on a best practices level, all of a sudden it's given us this exposure, you know, and this wealth of knowledge of the Cleveland Browns, of the Columbus Crew, of Aston Villa, you know, of these other entities these folks own parts of and dealing with, you know, in the same industry. And that's priceless, you know, for us to continue to refine, like the way we do business, the way we create the customer experience, like the way we're organized. So it's so far so good. It's been really fun.
And Peter, we're looking forward to next week when we sit down with Jimmy Haslam. So switching gears, tell us, Peter, what's shaking in the Deer District? There's a new hotel, for starters, just steps away from Fiserv Forum.
Yeah, I think we're at an unbelievably fun inflection point for the Deer District. So we've got the Trade Hotel that's opened up. I think when you come into Arena, for those who come on, you see we've innovated like the food and beverage experience to be a little more seamless on self-serve, a little some menu tweaks. Everybody's going to be thrilled that we've got one of the Wisconsin institutions kind of integrated in our food in Johnsonville, which is like a fun change for us to really have authentic Wisconsin companies and products and within us. And then I think like constantly kind of upping like where our hospitality is and what the experiences are. And if you've experienced Bucks games, they'll be incredible. And, you know, we'll have a record year this year on our event side with concerts and family entertainment. And, you know, we're thinking in the next real, like, you know, 4 to 8 weeks, we'll have announcements on two other large developments within the district, both residential and commercial, which will be kind of exciting. And then you're really thinking about, like, activating every acre of the Deer District in an exciting way.
Oh, looking forward to that. And, Peter, there's been some concern among fans about being able to see all season long the Bucks on television. Give us a sense of where things stand in the negotiations with Bally Sports.
Yeah, I would say the holding company Diamond is definitely going through a negotiation period. You know, I'd say with 16 of the teams, one of them being the Milwaukee Bucks. We think we're in a great position to kind of have seamless broadcast, you know, for this upcoming season as it stands now. I would say we've spent a lot of time figuring out, you know, what are alternative plans if Diamond actually went into bankruptcy and liquidation, which we don't think is going to happen. But if it does, that we'll be prepared. And I think the landscape of local media is like changing dramatically. Diamond's current situation has helped accelerate that. But you're going to see kind of interesting landscape of whether it's direct to consumer on the streaming side or over the air opportunities, you know, on your broadcast side. But I do think like one of the exciting things is, you know, Jamie and Jimmy and Wes are kind of the mindset of what's best for the fan. How do we increase the fan base? What's more exposure? So I think directionally, you know, you might see the ability of our games, instead of being broadcast to 600,000 cable subscribers, is in the future, is how does that expand, you know, to 3+ million, you know, over the air viewers, you know, which is a dramatically different way to position our brand, our team, our sport, and is kind of exciting, you know, as you look forward.
But in the meantime, everyone will still be able to see all the games, right, Peter?
Absolutely. And absolutely, Mike, there will be a seamless, you know, the viewership of games will be seamless to the end user. We just have to navigate the back end.
Very good. And finally, Peter, congratulations are in order. You were recently named the Business Leader of the Year here in Wisconsin by the Harvard Business School Club. Great honor. Well deserved, Peter.
Well, Gail, as you know, I follow like an illustrious path of former winners. It's quite an honor. It's unbelievable. I could get into it with you, but you know, my parents met at the Harvard Business School, which is kind of interesting, and have been in. So it's kind of an interesting, neat connection, and kind of one of those humbling, fun honors like in our city, which I'm sure you're well aware of.
Peter, were you able to bring your mom to see the event?
I was, and my mom was over the moon, which is worth it.
Oh, that's fantastic. Terrific. Well, again, Peter, congratulations. Tremendous work as president of the Bucks, and we always appreciate visiting with you, always appreciate your time. You've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. So long, everybody.